Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Where Is There podcast. I'm Jay O'Hare, and hey, Todd.
Jay, great to see you.
Here we go again, and man, this one is one that I've been really excited for us to get to, because it's one that I think a lot of people can relate to, and that is the issue or the topic around trust.
Yeah, it's a big topic.
Sure.
Lots of facets to that word, and you know, to me, it's worth breaking it down into the different elements of trust, such that, you know, if somebody said, "I don't trust you," gosh, that could be for a lot of different reasons.
Sure.
And you might be thinking it's one thing, and it's actually another thing, another characteristic of trust that you're not even seeing. And so you keep trying to, you're trying to solve a problem that is unsolvable. You keep hitting that one element of trust, so to speak, but it's really
something else.
It's something else. And you wonder why isn't this person trusting me? I keep working on it. I mean, it's my understanding of trust, but so, you know, it's such a big topic, Jay, if it's okay, we're going to probably break this down into three segments instead of just one podcast.
Okay.
We'll cover like three elements at a time, or three pillars, whatever you want to call it.
Sure, sure. So today we'll deal with the first three.
Yeah.
And again, this is to help people understand that trust is a very broad term.
It is. And, you know, I like to look at the different elements of trust. How do we create it? How does it get compromised? Mm. You know, before I start there, it's interesting. For me, even the word trust, you know, there's really two orientations to trust. Some people have an orientation that, you know, trust is inherent. I just come with trust in my heart. I trust everybody until they do something to create a sense of distrust.
Right.
Other people, exactly the opposite. It's like no one has my trust until they earn it. And there's not a right or wrong approach to that. In my experience, one comes from the model of abundance, one comes from the model of scarcity. But there's not a right or wrong. It's just interesting to know. And for the listeners, it'd be fun to identify which one is true for you. And you know, what in my past shaped that? Because it's usually shaped early in life. There's an experience we have, and then we have an orientation towards trust. And yeah, I mean, because I think we all come out trusting, of course. And then something happens to some people where I got burned, and from this point on, man, dude, you got to earn my trust.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it does. You know, there could even be a third one, Todd, where you come from both places.
Right, right.
Right? So almost like this, like, trust but verify kind of thing, you know, where like you've got a new person on the team. Well, of course, you're going to give them the benefit of the doubt and you're going to trust them, but you're going to also be a little bit like, okay, is this person really going to do what they say they're going to do, or that sort of thing?
Yeah. Love it. So we'll start with, you know, my experience of trust, and again, I don't have the truth. These are my nine elements. There's a gazillion ways this could go. This is based on my experience working with individuals and teams and in my own life, and what's gotten in the way, or what are those elements for me. And so the first element and probably the foundation of trust, at least to me, is something that's probably overlooked by most people, I think, when they think of trust. For me, presence is the absolute foundation of trusting the other human being.
Presence.
Yeah. Presence. What I mean by that is they're with you. You know they're with you. They're making eye contact. They're listening. They're in this conversation with you.
Certainly.
They're not preoccupied. They're not somewhere else. We've all been in conversations where, you know, you're talking to someone, you know they're not with you. And in that moment, at least to me, there can't be any kind of trust for that person in that moment.
Well, on a very basic level, you might not even trust that they even heard what you're saying.
Totally. And so presence, and it, you know, for I think almost everybody, probably everybody, it's a real challenge to be present, even in a conversation, even in one that you want to be present in. We're so plagued by preoccupation and distractions, and it seems to be getting more and more so these days with the advent of cell phones and social media and all this other stuff we're throwing at ourselves. But, you know, let me just give you a simple example how fundamental presence is to trust. One of the things I do when I'm working with teams, I'll ask, how many of you are in a loving relationship in your life? And of course, people raise their hand. And I said, so let me walk you through a scenario. You tell me how much love's in present in this moment. So you're in a conversation with somebody that you love, be it a spouse or a friend or whatever, and you know they're not listening. Are you loving them then? Is there love and affinity for them then? You know they're not listening. Are you loving them then? You love them. You have a sense of love for them. Sure. But in that moment, I would posit that all that love and affinity in that moment is gone because you know they're not with you. And if somebody shows up consistently in that way, Jay, I don't know how you could possibly trust them.
Constantly checking their phone, preoccupied with other things. They're not giving you their attention.
No. And over time, if that's just how they show up in that conversation, my guess is you'll choose out. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to go find somebody that's willing to be with me in this moment, in this conversation. Because I think that's the basis of everything is a conversation. So it's the building block of every relationship. And it's the foundation of every relationship is a conversation. So if they're with me, I'm all in, and I'm you know, I have a lot of presence and connection with them. And if they're not, I feel disconnected. So I don't think it's talked about in terms of trust very often, that how fundamental and foundational presence, being in the moment with another human being is, or with yourself, and the importance of it. And it's just, it's everything. And so, you know, that's the first element. And for those listening, I mean, I challenge you to look at how you're showing up being in your conversations, because there's only two ways of being. You're either in this moment with another human being or you're not.
Right. You can only do one.
There's no in between that. Yeah. And we always know the difference. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I'm just saying, I'd love for everybody on listening to this podcast to really challenge themselves and ask themselves, well, how am I being in my conversations? Am I present or am I constantly preoccupied? What about with my kids? Am I present for them or do they get the least amount of presence? My experience watching humans, and including myself, is for whatever reason, a lot of times our kids get the least amount of presence from us, even though we'd wanted them to get the most. And they don't have the wherewithal to call you on your shit, pardon my French.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
They can't.
Yeah.
It's until they get a certain age, and then eventually they will call you and they, hey, dad or mom, hey, get off your cell phone or whatever. And of course, eventually it does what? It flips.
Flips.
And now we're asking
them to not take it off their cell phone.
And that's why it drives us so crazy, because they're not present with us.
Yeah. There's something else that's more important going on someplace else.
And so, you know, every conversation is an opportunity, Jay, to change a life, but you can't change a life if you're not present with those people you're talking with. So, and it's such a foundational thing for trust. So enough said on that. The second element that I'd love to cover today is this thing that I would call reliability. I mean, I can't trust somebody that I don't find reliable. Mm. And, you know, how do you define reliability? Well, that's a great question. So many times when I work with teams, I'll say, you know, how would you define reliable, or how do you define being your word, which is what I'm essentially talking about, being your word to another person. And everybody, if somebody say, do what you say you're going to do, that's reliable. Just doing what you say you're going to do. And I mean every single time somebody says that, Jay, every time. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting, because being your word or being reliable is about doing what you say you're going to do, but there's more to that equation. And where we get tripped up as human beings, and where we start creating leaks and our trust, is that the second part of that equation is when you say you're going to do it. It's not just enough to do what you say you're going to do. It's when you say you're going to do it.
Yes.
And most people, in my experience, especially in this sped up crazy world we're living in, are really pretty good at doing what you're saying you're going to do, dot, 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 eventually.
Yeah. They won't put the actual date and time.
Right.
But sometimes it's even more like putting the time on it, you know, 12 noon on Wednesday.
Yeah. And so every time we don't do what we say we're going to do, when we say we're going to do it, we create a leak. Hmm. We create a leak in our integrity and our trustworthiness. And over time, if that's consistently how we show up, not doing what we say we're going to do when we say we're going to do it, our reliability goes out the window, and thus so does our trust.
Sure.
So there's people listening on this podcast, I would guess, that have the habit of being late. And, you know, this is going
to
be...
How do you define late, Todd? Define late.
Oh, you mean like, steamboat time or,
right.
or Vegas time?
Yeah.
As if there's such a thing as...
I mean, can't you be like, 3 minutes, 5 minutes? Can't you be?
Well, in my experience, Jay, I love that. No, that would be late.
That's late.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you're either on time or you're not.
Yes.
It's sort of like you're either present or you're not. You're either on time or you're not. And anytime you're not, in my experience, anyway, you create a leak. And what you notice about people that are habitually late is they're pretty good at a couple things. They're pretty good at justifying, excusing, rationalizing, and blaming. Mm. And the other thing they're really good at is apologizing. They're constantly apologizing for being late.
And that's the ticket to get out of it.
Yeah, well, you know me, I'm always late, as if that's some genetic flaw they have. Oh my God, you have the late gene.
Right.
There's no such thing as the late gene. It's a habit. And so, you know, these podcasts are created to serve the listener. I'm not here to please anybody, and I'm not here to win anybody over with my niceness. So I'm going to say something fierce about being habitually late that's probably going to rankle some listeners, and I'm okay with that.
Okay.
So if you're habitually late and you know who you are listening to this, I would welcome you to consider one thing, that being habitually late is probably one of the most controlling, destructive, manipulative habits that you can have as a human being. And it's 100% a choice.
Mm.
And that's where it's so wild. I've worked with people that came to me as habitually late people and challenged them on that. And they've chosen out of that habit in one moment, truly. And because they saw the destructive nature of it. They saw the controlling nature of it. And that's the last thing they wanted to be. So if you're on this... listening to this and that fits your moniker, so to speak, I would just welcome you to consider choosing out of that habit. It's not helping you.
So how can you explain a little bit about how something that seems on the surface, I mean, it could be just pretty trivial, you know, like I was going to be there at 10 o'clock. I showed up at 5 after 10. Like, how does that habit create that amount of issues or destruction or problems in people's lives?
Well, the biggest thing that gets compromised there is your integrity.
Mm.
And I think if you did a survey of most people, integrity would be one of those qualities that they would hold most dear. And they would there's a sanctimony about being in your word, being integral. And yet again, as you look around, or I look around anyway, not only in my own life, but other places, man, there's so many leaks. And every time you have a leak, you know, it builds on itself. And so what you see over time is you leak here and you leak there, and you justify here and you blame there. And all of a sudden you have leaks, leaks, leak. And then you look up and you have a flood of upset and disappointment running right through the middle of your life. And you wonder why. And so for me, being out of your integrity is one of the root causes of all stress in the human condition. Like, it is very stressful to be out of your integrity.
Yeah.
And, you know, where it shows up for us, ironically, is at 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning, whenever that wake up comes. You know, a lot of people on this listening might have that wake up call occasionally in their life. And I would, if you did a root cause analysis of that, what was behind that, you're out of your integrity somewhere in your life. Most likely.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so then what to do? We'll clean it up. Go clean it up. Have the conversation. Do whatever it is to clean that up. So if I'm not reliable, how could I be trusted? And again, for me, the definition of reliability is doing what you say you're going to do when you say you're going to do it. And it's a fierce look. You know, my dad was one of the most habitually late people that I've ever known. And for only about 45 years, I tolerated that in my life. And every time I tolerated him being late, and then consequently me being late, I became a victim. And so what inevitably happened is we'd go to whatever event we were going to, we'd be late, and I'd spend the first 40 or 50 minutes pissed off at my dad, or so I thought. But I was really mad at myself. See, I was resenting myself. I thought I was resenting my dad, but I was resenting myself for allowing that to happen. So
by not holding him accountable? Or?
Yeah, by allowing him to do something that wasn't working for me. So ironically, I went to a training, and in this training, they just hammered this concept of being your word. And they showed the consequences of when you're not or when other people aren't in your life. So I came home from that training and I said, listen, Dad, I want to apologize. I've allowed you to be a way for me in my life that hasn't worked, and that's on me. But going forward, I'm going to just make a simple agreement, Dad. When I say I'm going to be somewhere, when I'm leaving at 5, I'm leaving at 5, and you're either in the car or you're not, and I promise you I will leave without you. Can you agree to that? And he's like,
wow.
Kind of caught him off guard. Well, that's exactly what happened. I started doing that, and I'd love to tell you my dad changed his behavior. He didn't.
He didn't.
But what happened for me is I reclaimed my integrity, and I noticed that I went to those parties and I had a great time or that meeting or whatever, and now I wasn't a victim anymore.
Yeah.
And so if you're in the world of having, maybe you're not habitually late, but you have somebody in your life that is, I would welcome you to consider you're out of your integrity by allowing that. And you know, it's so funny how we put a band-aid on it. And so we know somebody's habitually late. You know what we do? Oh, we just tell them it's 30 minutes earlier.
Right.
As if that's like, what is that? That's just one giant, pleasing, god-awful way of handling that scenario instead of just being fierce and say, this doesn't work for me. I love you. And because I love you, this is the stand I'm going to make for you and me. And this is how it's going to go from this point forward. And so that's what I did. And you know, I took back my integrity. It was awesome.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. So reliability is the second one.
Yeah. And so the third one is authenticity. I think we have a radar for inauthenticity. I think most
human beings. Our bullshit detectors.
Yeah. You know, just we can tell when people are being inauthentic. And I mean, not much to say on this topic other than do we trust people that are showing up in that way? Like they're not genuine. They're not being them, whoever that is. You know, when I first started speaking, Jay, I went out there and I tried to be my mentor. I tried to be like my mentor, Steve Chandler.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's a great speaker and I wanted to be him. And I went out there and it was so inauthentic. I want to barf. I'm just not him, but I was trying to be him. And it wasn't landing with the audience at all, understandably. And then I had a kind of a aha moment talking to another friend of mine about this whole thing. And he says, you know, Todd, what are you doing? Like, I just went to your speech and that doesn't seem like you at all. Like, why don't you just be you? And so I'm like, okay, good advice. And so I just started being me as they say, the rest is history. As things started lining up. And so, you know, trying to be something or someone you're not, it creates distrust. We just don't trust people that are showing up that way. The audience wasn't trusting me.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Oh, it makes total sense. I mean, that goes back to, you hear people say, just be yourself.
Yeah, be yourself.
Just be yourself.
And whatever that is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, another quick story. I sold outdoor signs for a while, Jay, when I was in my 20s. And this company promoted you going out in a suit and tie and all this stuff. And that was the last thing I could ever imagine myself doing. So I started going out with selling these big outdoor signs, very expensive outdoor signs. And I'd show up in shorts and Tevas in a t-shirt. And so what happened was I started selling a lot of signs, and the national sales manager called me one day and said, you know, first of all, who the hell are you and what are you doing that you're doing all these sales? And I said, well, I don't know, I'm just going out and selling. And he said, well, I would like to fly somebody out and work with you for a minute, see what you're doing. And so I said to this, well, I was 25 years old, kind of a bold thing to say. I said, well, that's great, but whoever you send, they got to come with t-shirt, shorts, and some shorts, sandals. And the guy said, you're kidding, right? And I said, no, if you come in a suit, I'm not going to go out with you, because that's just not who I am. And so to his credit, he came, and oh my God, it was so funny.
Oh my gosh, yeah. But you were able to have success by being authentic.
If I would have gone out in a suit, it just isn't me. It's not that, it's so great to wear a suit. It's awesome, but it's just not my cup of tea.
Yeah.
And so I felt inauthentic in that. So those are the first three elements of creating trust, and conversely, distrust if you're not in alignment with presence, with reliability, authenticity. I think there's such a profound connection to all three of those things, you know, starting of course with presence, and then being your word, and then being authentic. And again, when somebody says, I don't trust you, is it because you're not present with them? Or is it because you're not being your word, or is it because you're showing up as inauthentic? That's the complexity of that word trust.
Yeah.
And that's why I want to break it into nine different kind of segments. Does that make sense?
Oh, that totally makes sense. So between now and next week, is there anything that you'd recommend that people be aware of, or, you know, try to have an awareness around in terms of these elements?
Well, certainly the first two, you know, I think it's, you know,
presence and reliability.
Yeah. Those are almost measurable. Authenticity is a little bit, you know, more basic.
Subjective.
But I mean, especially on the second one, are you being your word? Are you doing what you say you're going to do when you say you're going to do it? And it's that second part that trips us up so often, Jay.
Yeah.
And creates a lot of stress when we're not in our integrity. And being present or not, you know, there's just such a huge opportunity to create profound connection if we were willing to slow down in this moment with another human being. Nowhere to go, nothing to get. I'm just going to be with you and give you the experience of being heard and understood, or maybe even gotten in this conversation. And if you do that habitually, you'll change lives. And how cool is that?
That's awesome. Yeah. Okay. Well, until next week, and we'll hit the next elements then.
Yeah.
Regarding trust. Three.
They are vulnerability, forgiveness, and accountability.
Great.
So we'll talk about those.
Cool. Thanks, Todd.
You bet. Thanks, Jake.